I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fuck.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to become a VIP, you're going to head over and subscribe to Luminary. You can do so by going to luminary.link/GWF, and that's how we get credit for your subscription. And you'll get access to 20 bonus episodes a year, ad-free content, and you'll get episodes of the podcast a week before everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And our undying love and gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure to follow us on social media. I'm at Philanthropy Gal.
I'm at Christina Hutch, and together we're a Guys We Fucked without the U and Fucked.
And definitely make sure to subscribe to our TikTok and our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and Fucked. So much free content, including
so much
full-length video episodes of the podcast.
Whole-ass episodes.
Yeah, we should be exactly on time with the current ones by the time you see this episode. So,
yeah.
You know, slowly but surely, guys, we're doing it. We're doing it.
Figuring it out.
We are. All right. This email says, from my long-distance boyfriend moved to be with me and now refuses to see me.
Oops.
Been there.
You have, Michael. Wow.
Have you, Mike?
It was a girlfriend, not a boyfriend, though.
This was, I mean, let's hear the email, but this sounds note for note, like okay. What I went through.
It seems like Mike has emailed the podcast.
Yet again.
From 2017.
But he's pretending to be a woman. Okay.
That's all right. A lot of men have.
I wish it was a joke. My ex-boyfriend of 3 years and I had to go long distance once COVID hit. He was an international student in school. Being on this type of visa means you only have 90 days after graduation to find a job in the U.S. or you get deported.
Yo.
He graduated May 2020, peak pandemic, so finding a job in our area was not plausible, and he had to move across the country. Fast forward to 2022, I was getting fed up with long distance and his lack of motivation to continue to applying to jobs near me, so we broke it off.
Okay.
Apparently, this was super motivating because right after the breakup, he started applying to jobs and landed an interview with an amazing company within a week and was offered a great job offer in my city within a month or so.
Oh, well, that worked.
We were super excited. But decided to remain broken up due to his visa status and unforeseen future. Okay. At the time of our breakup, he was considering moving back to his home country, which was not the case when we were dating.
Okay.
Although we were broken up, we continued to talk every day and make plans for the future as if nothing had happened. So you were not only
so
broken,
you were
up
broken up
in title. We had been waiting on a job offer for over a year and a half now, so it was exciting and seemed like things were finally falling into place. Well, fast forward to last month, he finally moves to my city and I suddenly do not exist in his realm.
Wow.
Being that we spoke every day about our excitement for his move, I expected to at least hang out as if things were back to normal.
Yeah, but you didn't.
Coming off of pandemic and long distance loneliness, I was really excited to be around someone I found familiar and comforting. Mm-hmm. Maybe I am the dumb bitch for those expectations, but they were reciprocated and the excitement was natural after trying to close the distance for so long. He now insists we need boundaries and
he met
can't
someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He met somebody else.
He met someone else. He now insists we need boundaries and can't hang out or else we'll fall back into it or relapse.
Which you can't do because he's getting
somebody
else.
So fucking triggered right now. This is insane.
I'm sorry, Michael.
Sorry, Mike.
Which he doesn't want to
Isabella
do.
Isabella didn't know when she picked this up.
Yeah.
I know.
Or she did. which he now doesn't want to do in case he ends up moving back to his country in 1.5 years when his work visa expires. Yeah, with the woman he's going to marry.
Yeah.
That's not you. This is logical on paper, but I feel like I've been left hanging for 2 years now waiting on him to get here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you, yeah, it's like it takes two to hang.
Yeah.
You know?
It does.
I have been watching him run around my city having fun with no remorse for how I'm feeling. Okay, well, you can stop the watching.
Yeah. Block him.
And it just feels like a sick prank. I am literally the reason he moved here, and now he is acting like that's not the case.
Yeah, because he met someone else.
Yeah. This whole time he's been texting and calling me still to talk about his day, etc. I finally, because he's using you for he's an emotional
vampire.
An
emotional support animal.
Yeah, I finally blocked him today because this has me feeling very used and upset.
Because you were being used.
Why were you answering the texts and calls?
Yeah.
I didn't sign up to be his pen pal.
Correct.
He will only text or call me but refuses to hang out.
Then we don't hang out.
I'm hella bitter and mad, and this is my first breakup / real boyfriend. I hate the feeling of someone being such a huge part of my life that nothing the next
day. That's called dating then.
Yeah, welcome to life. Don't date. Yeah. It's going to get a lot worse, and that's going to happen a lot more times.
100%.
He let 3.5 years crumble in the matter of the last 4 weeks. I mean, people do that to like 20 years of marriage. It just makes no sense to me. I fucking hate men.
No.
At this point, he should have just stayed in that far ass state.
No, you're mad at yourself.
Sincerely rejected near and far. Okay, well, that was a dramatic
ending. You rejected
ending.
Yourself. You rejected yourself. You rejected yourself by allowing this to continue without a title. And technically, he can put up the boundaries, but once he puts up those boundaries and he only lets you know that he wants to call you and lean on you but not hang out with you, then that's your cue to go, okay, bye-bye now.
Yeah, listen, the first part of this was deceitful because you had broken up, but you guys were still kind of like going back and forth, and it seemed like things were going to be fine. Like, you were basically still dating, and it seemed like things were going to be fine. You were making plans, that he was reciprocating his excitement in those plans. So yeah, that part was like, you just got, as we've been talking about. But the second part of this, where you're just torturing yourself, you're watching him, he's all of a sudden out of nowhere changes his feelings, all of a sudden he needs to set boundaries. And listen, like, setting boundaries is important, and often when one person sets boundaries, the other person is going to react poorly. But I don't think that's the case here. I think the case is definitely that he met someone else. Like, it's very
clear. Why would he want to call you and not want to see you? It doesn't make any sense.
But you're still the familiar you're still the one he knows, you're still the one that he feels comfortable talking to. He's basically using you as a free therapy service.
And so you can have one leg in, one leg out.
And you can be mad, and this fucking sucks, and I wish I could tell you that this is rare, this is not gonna happen again, this is the only time it's gonna happen in your life. It's probably not.
The thing is, you'll be able to handle it because next time you're gonna see it sooner, or at least go, hey, I don't feel good in this situation. That means I have to do something about it. And like, then the do something is stop talking to him.
Yeah, this guy's dead. You have to mourn him and you have to grieve him, but you have to do it privately without him.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be closure other than you just knowing that Corinne and Christina told you he met someone else.
Yeah. And girl, it is a mind fuck that you can be so fucking close to somebody for a long time, years, and then nothing. It's weird. When I broke up with Steven, it was so fucking weird. I'm like, you're dead to me. And I hope, and I still hope, I want to go to my grave without ever seeing that motherfucker again. But like, wow, we were so close.
Yeah.
It's wild, but you just have to accept it.
And people change. And also it's hard sometimes, like, people are being a version of themselves that they want you to see. That's a problem that I have a lot. Cause I can't imagine, like, it's just such a foreign concept for me, like pretending that like something is okay when it's not. But people do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And people change themselves to be who they think you want them to be, or who they think will be most loved or most lovable or hard to leave. And you never really know what people are thinking.
Yeah.
Again, this is 3.5 years. It could be a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, 50 years. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's wild. Sorry about that. It is going to happen to you a bunch of other times, but you're going to figure it out.
But the most important thing that you step one is blocking him, and you already did that. Great.
So you're well on your way. It just sucks, and you have to sit with it. And then, like Corinne said, grieve it. Grieve the loss of him so that you can move on. Because if you don't grieve it, you won't move on.
Think of it this way. You could have wasted another 2.5 years.
True. You were with her that long?
Yes, I was.
Wow. Obviously, you really healed from it and you're over it.
Yeah, I could tell. The emotional weight is lifted off of you.
Well, I'm fine until a situation comes up like this, and it's the exact same situation.
Right, not holding on to any resentment towards the person.
It's poking at something that is so sore.
I get it, man. Yeah. Fuck.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF. for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Guys, come see us live, Atlanta, Georgia. We are so excited, starting 10 a.m. today, which is Friday, the 24th of June, starting at 10 a.m. Pre-sale tickets are now available to our Atlanta, Georgia gig at the Center Stage Theater, Saturday, September 10th. You're going to use the pre-sale code DUMB. That stands for dumb bitch. There is a link in the description of today's episode where you can go, or you can get it on our website, sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com. But Corinne Fisher and I, we're coming to Atlanta Saturday, September 10th. We're headlining the Center Stage Theater. It's going to be an incredible time. Again, you're going to want to use pre-sale code DUMB.
And if you want more content, I have a podcast called Without a Country, and it's available everywhere you listen to podcasts, including full video on YouTube on Saturdays. It's a new show, but it's also a comedy show. I do it with Shane Smith. You can, you know, there's a lot of important stuff going on in the world, guys. I hate to bully you into, you know, being an aware citizen, but I feel like it's important. So, you know, tune in if you want. It's the best way to consume the news, in my opinion. It certainly helped me be a more aware citizen, which was the fucking point of the show. So enjoy.
Yay. And then I have a Patreon and I have the Voices in Our Heads podcast. But the thing I want to push right now, if you have a spare dollar, I have a fundraising campaign going on for my second short film called The Tower. I made it with the same crew that made Dwell with me. I wrote it. I starred in it. And we are trying to recoup the funds from production and then earn funds for post-production. So thetowerfilm.com is where you could go, or go on a Kickstarter and just look up The Tower. But it'll be in all of my social media bio. But if you have a money to donate, please donate. You can only see the short film if you donate money. You will be given a link once the film is done. and because we're submitting it, doing a festival run. So we really appreciate it. It's a psychological thriller. You'd think one day I'll make a comedy because of what I do for a living. I will. I just got to get this pain out of me first. So it's a psychological short thriller about how childhood trauma comes to haunt you as an adult and what that looks like. So I'm really excited about it. So save me $5 for me. Thank you. Love
Hell
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can rate and review Guys We Fucked and follow us on Apple Podcasts, which really helps our charting. There's three little dots in the upper right hand corner when you go to Guys We Fucked on the Apple Podcast app. And then you can click on that and following will be an option. Costs nothing to you, doesn't affect your life in any way.
It's a free thing that you could do that helps us out.
Just helping us. And as we mentioned, our special is still live and available for free in totality at youtube.com/guyswefucked without the you and fucked. You can also catch episodes of the Dumb Witch Woo Hour, old episodes of Did That Help, clips from the podcast, clips from the comedy special. There's just so much content.
We really
keep making stuff for you.
Dive
for
in.
Free. So enjoy that.
Yeah.
All right. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm working out a lot. I've been working out like multiple times a day because I have so much energy in me and it's got to go somewhere.
I wish I had energy.
Oh my God. I just keep crying. But yeah, I've been a lot very physically active lately. So that's been very helpful. And I've been eating really well. My skin is freaking out and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do. But yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. But yeah, just working out, running, rollerblading, lifting very heavy weights. And eating arugula. So having a great time. Having a blast. How are you?
That doesn't sound... Well, you don't really like eating bad food, so not really...
Well, when I eat healthy, like my mood is so much better because my stomach's so fucking sensitive. I just feel so much better when I eat well. And I've been getting a lot of sleep. So I'm still sad, but you know, that's whatever. You know, you just keep on living.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, it's interesting because this is June. So a lot of big firsts coming
in
anniversaries, June.
Yeah.
First Father's Day with a dead dad. We go into the anniversary of my dad's death. And then right after that, we go to my dad's birthday.
So it's just all the hits.
Just a fun time. Well, it's funny because what I've noticed throughout the grief process is that the times that you worry about that like, you know, the holidays, for instance, like Christmas, yeah. I was really worried that was going to be really bad and like unmanageable. Honestly, was totally fine. I mean, I think we did a lot of things as a family to make sure it was tolerable. Like we didn't spend Christmas in the family home. We rented an Airbnb. We got out. We brought the dogs. So that was fun to be in like, it wasn't like, we weren't celebrating in a space that had always had my dad in it. We were celebrating in a space that he had never been in, that was new to us.
That's
and
nice.
So I think
Perfect.
That was super helpful. And so I don't know, because then it turned out like January through, I mean, March, April, May, till pretty recently was pretty excruciating.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking about joy, because I felt like I was worried. I remember telling my therapist, Kier, when my dad first died, that it was like a couple of months and I literally hadn't felt joy. And I was so void of joy that I actually was worried I wasn't going to be able to feel it again. Like, that's how gone it was. Like, things weren't funny. Nothing made me smile. Like,
even like Alfred, like cuddling up with you?
Not joy.
Yeah.
No. Like, comfort. And I still loved him. But there was nothing that was bringing me joy at all. And so that was a little worriesome. And then I remember, I don't know exactly when it happened, but I remember the first time I felt joy and I like reported back and I was like, thank God. I like literally thought it was gone. The moments are still few and far between, but I do like appreciate them even more now because they are, because even though like I know I sound like I have like a fucking like sour puss curmudgeon, but I actually feel joy lots of time. You know, basically all my time spent alone is like pure joy because, no one's there.
Right. Of course.
Except for my daughter. So that's great.
Just how God intended.
Yeah. So it's interesting because Friday when we went, we took the boys, we took not Mike, we took Kevin
no,
and Alfred,
Kevin and Alfred.
Hiking, and
that was nice.
And I really like I feel like every now and then I really like to make a day an Alfred day because I really like want to like basically pay him back for all like the friendship and like that he's given me. Because yeah. I feel like even in life with like humans, we don't do that enough. And so yeah. I always like try to keep Alfred in mind and be like, he didn't ask like for your dad to die and for you to be sad for like a year.
Yeah.
And he never was like, never asked anything of me other than like, you know, when it's time to eat, like would paw me, but was so patient with me in ways that like even humans weren't, you know, of me. Basically, you know, as I've talked about on the show, it's like you, when someone dies, no matter who it is, you get about 2 weeks of sympathy and then truly no one gives a shit. Mm. And that's fine. And I accepted that. But it was still like, you know, when you're still feeling it. So you have to like go back to normal. In the outside world, and it's just a lot of maintenance that extra maintenance that you're doing. So yeah, so and then we took him hiking, and he got to ride in Christina's car, which he always thinks is fun. And then I like went and got him like iced vanilla soft serve, because like you can give, you know, dogs that every once in a while. And I just
he
like
probably loved that.
Oh, he loved it.
And he really probably metabolized it quick because he just went on a fucking hike for 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, he can have an extra treat today. And he really like, we just like made it about him because we had so much bonding time during COVID. Like we really like, we were always very close, but like we truly became like bosom buddies, you know, because we're just at home all the time, you know, eating snacks and everything. And so that was like nice because I really felt such like pure joy on Friday. And then of course the next day, because I had felt such pure joy on Friday, the crash the next day was like fucked. But that's okay. It's fine. Expected. It's like the day after your birthday. Like it's just too much. You can't recreate it again. And it's not like I was in like a terrible depression or anything. You're just like, okay. But it's nice to like remind yourself what pure joy feels like when you haven't experienced in so long. And I'm kind of like just trying to prepare for like all these days. Like Father's Day is this Sunday. I kind of like forgot about it, but I'm like, I need to do something that like my dad would have liked to do.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is what we did when we put him to rest. The same thing. We went bowling that day. And then, you know, and it's also like other people almost like prematurely reacting. So like a lot of people in my life are like, oh, this is going to be a tough month for you. And I was like, well, we don't need to keep saying that because that's also not helpful.
It will with that attitude, asshole.
Just a reminder, you're going to be sad this month.
Well, and again, I kind of like, I'm not sure that I will.
Because you got to take it as it comes.
I feel like, you know, you can like almost concoct like a reaction if you keep dreading something. And I'm trying to keep a more open mind because like I said, like the holiday, like the grief is, you know, comes in waves, as everyone says, and it's also like comes at very unexpected times. So you know, maybe like it's not like Father's
you
Day
can't really
was, like,
plan
a,
it.
You know, Father's Day only exists because they
the
had Mother's
companies.
Day and they had to do something. Father's Day pales in comparison to Mother's Day, and everybody knows it. Mother's Day is like the highest like flower purchasing happens on Mother's Day, and like no records are set on Father's Day. Father's Day actually makes me laugh so hard.
Go fishing with dad or whatever.
Because when you go on Instagram on Father's Day, on like Mother's Day and Father's Day, it's so different.
Yeah.
Because Mother's Day, everyone's like, this goddess gave me everything. I love to see the word sacrifices on Mother's Day. That's something you see so much. The sacrifices she made as if that's a feather in a woman's cap. That's the regret that she'll have on her last dying breath. And then Father's Day is like, yeah, this guy's kind of a fun dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Father's Day is about
he wasn't too much of a dick.
Dad, like power tools and shit
literally
like that.
Literally just Father's Day. And you feel, I always feel so much bad energy on the internet because so many
Day?
People hate their dads.
Aww.
Yes. And have bad relationships. And I always kind of felt guilty on Father's Day because I'm like reading all this shit and I'm like, my dad fucking rocks. I love my dad. He's literally the coolest, most interesting person I've ever met in my life. Like, sorry you guys never got to meet him. That's your loss. But yeah, and I think that's the flip side. So I've been like writing a lot of jokes about like, you know, having a good childhood, and but then also about my dad dying. And I think that's like kind of like that's the exchange rate. Like, so yeah, I did have a good childhood, but also like the loss that I experience when my parents die is gonna be like that much suckier because like two of my best pals don't exist anymore. So
right.
That fucking blows.
Yeah.
So I was just like, so I was just thinking about that a lot, and joy and passing and preparing for things. And Yeah. And just kind of like working through it. I did feel so, it was so sucky though, because like I was in the clear for a couple months and I felt good again. I think like the good and the nice weather helped and everything. Yeah. But then it's just like, June. And I think where I was last June, oh my God, just walking around in a muumuu. Trying to get to
you
hospice.
Were going back and forth,
just exhausted. So much Ubers, don't even remember what I was doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we
are.
Can't believe it's a year later, and you know, it's fun as the people you love's memory fades away and you grasp onto the straws that you have.
Aren't those straws
sexy?
Yummy? Who's horny?
Sexy.
Not me. Yeah. wonder if I'll ever stop working out. Okay. Well, guys, you're in for a treat. Our interview today is with an incredible comedian. She's known as the diva of comedy. She's a Brooklyn-based comic, actor, writer, and a legal professional. And you've got to watch out for her upcoming album, My Mama's Music. We're so excited. Please give a warm welcome to Onika McLean.
BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Onika McLean, so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
You look incredible.
Thank you. I'm trying.
How you doing? What's new?
I am wonderful.
Yeah.
What's new? Comedy. I'm getting busy in comedy, so that's
dope. That's the best.
I've never heard a comedian respond to how are you doing with it? I'm wonderful. So that's right. That's amazing. Right, right out of the gates, you're doing
nice
better than most people.
Oh, well, I am on a self improvement journey.
Yes, me too.
So
it's
like
a long road.
Yeah, it is a long road, but I feel like once I'm hydrated, I feel way better.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, I've just flipped the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then I drank some water and I was like, oh, okay.
It makes everything better.
Yeah, even when you're hungry, if you're like, oh, maybe I can just drink some water. Maybe I'm actually not hungry every 10 minutes. Maybe I just don't have any fluids in my system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on this journey, what were the things that you were concentrating on to improve?
Healing, mm-hmm. right?
Of what kind? Like what was your,
like,
what
so
did you need?
Past trauma, past mm-hmm. traumas in relationships, just the stuff that I did to myself that I would not forgive myself for.
Yourself.
And how I'm looking myself in the mirror and I know I'm not showing up for myself.
Yeah.
All of those things. And so, and I've been like on this like self-help journey for a long time, but I feel like you just got to get sick of yourself.
It's exhausting thinking about yourself all the damn time. And that to me is the product of like a neurotic mind, which mm-hmm. a neurotic mind, like, cause I've been really mm-hmm. into self-help the last couple of years. There's a lot of kind of similar sayings to like, you know, when your body's hurting, you feel it. Like your body will tell you with pain, with neurons.
Mm-hmm.
When your brain needs tending to, your mind and your heart needs tending to, it will show up in like neurotic thoughts or like you can't stop thinking about yourself or trying to fix the way you operate in the world. So was there anything that jumpstarted it?
I just kept picking toxic men.
Yeah.
Right.
Always shows up in dating.
Yeah, but because that's what shows you who you are.
Yeah.
Right. So that means I was dealing, that's all that was I had going on inside of myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, the last toxic man, I was like, I need to call my dad. You got some shit. You got some, like, it can't be him, right? It
has common denominator too, right? Right.
And it had to be something like that was so deep seated because I was like holding on so crazy. And I was like, I got to get better. I got to get better. And then I was just thinking like, what was my lowest point?
Yeah.
And what I try to tell myself all the time is it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that low. But it was, it's like I wanted to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And people can't even say those words, but so many people think like that all the time. And I'm like, but for what? Like, nothing in my life is that bad to want to check out. But I was just so sad.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me try to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
But let me figure it out in application, because the thing about it is your mind loops. And your mind is there to make sure that you understand that you're not crazy. So the mind is going to keep on showing you, see, we're right. See, we're right. Mm-hmm. See, we're right.
Yep.
But your body tells more of the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the body keeps the score.
Woo! Right. It tells the truth. The fascia, it just tells the truth. And I started like, okay, so maybe I need to drink more water. Maybe I need to work out when I'm trying to heal. Maybe I need to swim. I started swimming.
Yeah, like, swimming's the best workout because it's full body. Like, all of your muscles are going.
Yes, and all those old people in the water. It was this lady in the in the pool. I thought, now I'm not like a great swimmer, but I can swim from camp, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then I went on YouTube and I was like, how do you, you know?
The strokes, yeah. Yeah.
The guy was like, you have to make sure your hand is this. And I was like, all right, I got it, right? So now I'm in the pool and I'm thinking I'm racing this older white lady, but she is lapping me. Like I said, like with one hand, she's just like taunting me.
Yeah.
She don't have on goggles. She's have on.
Not a cap. No cap.
No, she's just chilling, right? She doing backstroke.
Tits out. Just.
I want to punch this in her face, right? I'm like, I'm going to go underneath this water and I'm going to drag her down like Jaws, right?
Yeah.
I was taunted. And then I spoke to her. I was like, hey, what's your name? Because I want to size her up. Like, you've been swimming forever because white girls get to do whatever they want to do. And so I'm telling myself, this lady was not 80. She was 103 years old.
Literally 103 years old?
Vivian is 103 years old.
Wow.
And you know what's so crazy?
Oh my God. Vital woman.
This is what's so crazy. She has a home attendant with a rollator. She cannot walk upright in the world.
Oh. Okay. But the gravity-less nature of the water is like she can use her body.
Lapping me. Like she's a 13-year-old. Right? And I was like,
that's inspiring as shit.
That is so inspiring. And I was like, you just got to get your, when you're trying to heal, you got to get your whole being into it.
Yeah.
You can't leave anything out. And that's what I was doing. I kept on leaving out my body. I was like, I'm just trying to fix this mind. I'm gonna fix this mind.
Mm-hmm. And it feeds the neurosis even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been crying a lot lately, and I'm forcing myself to have like 60% of my day is physical activity.
And that cry.
Oh yeah, 100%. I cry when I do it a lot of times. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. I feel good after a good cry. I cry a lot. So I'm like, is this gonna stop? But physical activity is like, it burns that energy, and it burns the energy of the neuroses of thinking about yourself. So it leaves you like clean slate. That's awesome.
And I come up with so many joke ideas in it, of course, because you're lulling yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm there right now.
That's great.
I feel so happy.
Have you been doing a lot of crying?
Yeah, but this kind of cry, like
drooling all over yourself. Oh yeah,
like the 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Somebody took my bike.
Yeah,
is my bike kind of crying?
Yeah. Are you working with anyone, like a therapist or any? You just did it all on your own?
I was in therapy for 8 years.
Oh yeah. Huh? And no, and you said
sometimes
no.
It doesn't get my money, Dr. Glassman. Like, 8 years. I mean,
wow.
I was able to like get divorced, and I was able to do things that I was like physically could not do, but emotionally, no. I like started making up shit in therapy. I was like, you think I was molested? She was like, bitch, no.
You're just grasping at straws here.
What initially made you want to start therapy? Was that something that like you had ever like grown up with, your parents had talked about, or that was just your own thing?
No, I grew up, my mother is like 16 years older than me. We were not
therapy,
no.
Yeah.
I knew that I was really, really sad. And I was like,
doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah, but I was like a little vicious sometimes. Like, so, and I was trying to raise my kids. And I was like, you know what? I need, in order to kind of like deal with this life, I need an outlet. Mm-hmm. And then I start going to therapy. But the thing about it is, if you're not willing to do the hard part,
Looking at the parts of yourself you don't want to look at.
Yeah, you can't. Like, it's never going to work. 8 years I was in therapy until a point she started recommending books.
Yeah. So you're beating around the bush for 8 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I did get divorced during that time.
Yes, that is progress.
And I asked for a couple of raises during that time with like a bunch of coaching.
Okay.
And then I just said, I just got to go it on my own. It just wasn't doing anything else for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just do it on my own. And I still was feeling like a little bit good and then still really sad. And then I discovered comedy, which is a total outlet, but comedy is not therapy.
Right. Said by any good comedian.
Right. It is not therapy. And I was kind of using it like that for a little while, but no, it's a whole business.
Yeah.
And as you're healing, you need to do some internal work. So I just started doing the work, which is very, very easy once you start. I was reading this book.
What's it called? I don't want to.
The Mountain Is You.
Oh, ooh, I've never heard of it.
Brianna West. And when I say it's about stop self-sabotaging and all that stuff. Okay. And when I say it was just a light bulb.
Wow. I'm going to download that after we.
I was on a plane, right? And I had my phone and I had my notebook and I'm writing and I'm reading the book and I'm writing. And this old lady, she was like, are you studying for an exam? I was like, no, I'm just sick of my shit.
Yeah. The ultimate exam of life. Yes.
I'm like, I'm sick of this shit. So that's what happened.
Wow. Self-sabotage. That is. What an odd thing, huh?
Yeah.
Like, because you're like, why would I want to hold myself back? That doesn't make any sense. But then
discomfort.
Looking at the roots of it, not being comfortable being the best version of yourself.
You don't want to experience discomfort, right?
Right.
But we experience discomfort all the time. You're uncomfortable, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we think that if we do this thing, then after we could chill out. But there's never a chill out because you always want more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we just give ourselves that loop and you could get out the loop.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that I could get out the loop. And I was like, oh, I don't have to deal with that person. Nope. You don't have to do. Nope. You don't. No. You just got to be able to sit alone with yourself. And if that's not enough, then we got some more work to do.
Yes. And then you realize that's like it. That is the secret to life. When you realize that, you look at everybody going into romantic relationships and you're like, oh, we're just trying to fix ourselves through a person.
Mm-hmm.
That is a recipe for failure. You have to be whole and complete and feel good about yourself. And it's such a stale thing to say, but like you have to be good with yourself before you can have a partner and have
but
that
people
be good.
Say that all the time, but that is hard. Being good with yourself.
Yeah.
Like you that knows all the shit.
Yeah. You know all your demons. You know all your.
Like, I can't even look. Okay, you're right.
Yeah. Crin's always been good with herself. She's one of the only people.
It's my
I've
only
ever
skill,
met.
Actually.
Really?
I have no other skills or talents.
But how?
Loving, supportive child.
Part of that, and but then the other half is just like just born that way, like
How'd
Lady Gaga. Nicely.
Yeah. It's very important.
But I would say
you're not stuck someplace.
But it's not just that, because my brother and I have very different, I mean, same parents within the same 5 year like span, like it's very, and we would have different, very like outlooks on life and ourselves, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like some people are like born with grit and then also get love.
Were you the favorite?
No, my parents are honestly don't have a favorite.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, there's only two of us and one boy, one girl. It's like, a little.
How old were your parents when they had you?
My mom was like 26 or 27 and my dad was in his early 30s.
Okay, so they both had their frontal lobes.
Mm-hmm. Right, which you get when you're 25.
Yeah, that's why.
How old were both of your parents? So how your mom was?
18 and 16.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
kids. They're kids.
Yeah, they were kids.
Yeah. So how was that growing up being raised by other kids?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But when you're a kid, When you're a kid, you don't know your parents are there.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
Because I had to be an adult.
You had to be their parent?
Because my dad wasn't there. But I had to be my mom's parent, who was really, really sad. She was depressed whole time.
Like clinically?
We're black in the project, so it wasn't clinically, but she was depressed. She laid down and did cocaine. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the recipe.
And she leaned
disaster.
On you for emotionally.
And she leaned, but I had a sister. So she had two kids by the time she was 18.
Shit. Mm. Mm-hmm. So you have a little sister.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys really close?
Yeah. But because we know each other's stories, but we weren't always like that because
you're like war buddies.
Yeah. Because my mom was, she was just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's a sad lady. And so we had to kind of like navigate.
Did you tend to go towards partners that had an inner sadness?
Yeah, trauma bond.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I trauma bond the whole time. I was like,
tell me
who disappointed you.
Yeah.
Tell me. Tell me your hurt. Like, wait. Tupac has this song, and it's like, tell me your pain. Share it with me. Like,
trauma bonding. Is it called trauma bonding? Because it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild because that feels so intoxicating.
Because now you finally found somebody that you get to fix you in.
Mm-hmm.
So now I get to do it over through these people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when they disappoint you, then it's
being disappointed with yourself. And
now you're mad at your dad, right? Like, so now, like, anybody got nothing. I'm telling you, that last relationship, that crazy one, I called my dad. I said, hey, listen, we got to talk. Like, let me apologize to you. Because, even when he started to try to, like, come into my life or whatever, I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. And I just would not forgive. And then I was like, but in that unforgiveness, I'm picking dudes trying to kind of make them be like a father to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you realize forgiveness is really for you too. It's first and foremost for you. And so you can live in peace.
And my dad is not a bastard.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like a self-centered kid.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a child when he had you. Yeah.
And I mean, he still acts really immature sometimes, but I don't have those judgments against him anymore. The expectation is not for him to heal the little kid in me. That is my job.
That's your job. Yeah, yeah. It's hard. I don't know. How do you deal with, going, they did the best they could, the given the circumstances, and like, fuck them. Like, how do you?
So, like, fuck them is for now.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you are still operating in that same space as a parent, like being manipulative, being, combative and all those different tivs, I joke about that. If you're that, right, then I have to save myself as an adult and say, well, I'm gonna love you, but from over here, because I'm not gonna be able, I'm not, just because I was born through you does not mean I have to accept your abuse
boundaries.
As an adult. Like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So, but I had to get to there because I kept seeing myself as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard not to.
Like, you need to take care of me. You need to take care of, you're in your 40s. You didn't do it when I was 8. And remember, I was scared and all those things. And I had to start saying, oh, okay, I get to, that's my job too. Yeah. That's your job too.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your relationship with your mom like now?
It's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool. I have to like check her every so often because
you can be on the same page.
Yeah, but she's like older, and so now she just does old fuck girl shit. Like
fuck girl shit. What's old fuck girl shit?
Like, I had a party. I promise you, I had a party, and she kicked some of my party members out of my house. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And she was drunk, and she said, I said, why would you do that? And she was like, the Holy Spirit told me to do it. Like, she still does fuck shit.
Funny.
She still does. That's not funny. That's embarrassing.
She was like, really earnestly meant it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought she was just like, I didn't like them, so I said that. That's how what I
but
said.
It's still my house.
Oh, yeah, it is your house. Right. And your party.
Yeah. They blew out my candles. I was like, how the fuck? Those are my candles. Because that's what you let people do in life.
Right.
Yeah. You let them cross your boundaries. You invite them to your party, and then they blow out your candles, and you be like, those are my candles.
Did you find that when you put a boundary up after having boundaryless relationship, did they react strongly to that? Or did they?
No, they just, because if you truly have a boundary, people just go divert their attentions to people that don't have boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of always the path of least resistance. The reason why you can't do it is because you can't do it.
Right.
Because once you're like, nope, won't be doing that, then they're like, oh, damn.
They move on to easier prey.
They just move on to easier prey.
It's kind of like bullying in high school. Like, basically, like, one time, I wasn't bullied because one person tried to bully me one time, and I was like, nope. And then we're like, all right, this is a waste of our time. Yeah, it's not fun. And as soon as you do that, then it doesn't happen anymore. Even in comedy, like, you know, when you start and, like, bookers try to, like, use you for all your worth and, like, make you not pay you and shit, and I go, yeah, I'm not playing like that. And then they move on to someone else who will do it.
Right. Yeah, that's
true. And
then
they respect you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. People are always afraid of like, I love people. I had a situation in high school. I don't want to get too specific, but like in a program that I was really liked to do, but the person who led the program was like kind of this known dictator almost. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I feel like I want to do this so much I can get past this. And I just set boundaries. I was like, you can treat other people like this. Maybe you've been treating people like this for decades, but you're not going to treat me like this. And I still got the things I wanted out of the program, and I was not disrespected. So, like, it is possible. It's scary, though. It's not like I'm fearlessly, like, standing up to people all the time, but I'm also not going to sit there and, like, be some, I don't know, right. some little bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Yeah, I have a temper. It makes boundary setting hard because then I set it, and then everyone's like, whoa. I'm like, don't do
Because the thing about it is, when you don't really set boundaries, and when you finally do, that's not on them that it took you that long.
Yeah.
But what was happening is I would be a monster. After now, I'm like, don't fucking touch my shit.
Right.
I'm dealing
for years of shit.
Of course, because it's almost like, I feel like it's like sometimes people like overcompensate. Like, it's almost like you're, when you're trying to get like a scrappy-do mentality, like you're trying to get yourself revved up in a fight that you are also not confident that you can win.
And it's not even about a fight, right? Because the other piece is, if you just say
it's a fight with yourself, really. Yeah.
Because you're not willing to walk away.
Sure.
Right.
That's the thing. Because you're like, if this person leaves, especially if you're dealing with abandonment issues.
Yeah.
If this person leaves, if I say this thing, you got to be okay with them leaving. And, and you have to, what I've noticed is just think about the worst case scenario, right? So what's the worst thing that could happen? Mm. And once you say that, and normally it's not nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. They'll get mad and they won't speak to me.
Mm-hmm. But I stood my ground.
But that's the only thing that can kind of like happen. It's not like somebody's going to hit you. Or,
right.
Right. So if the worst case scenario is not like, then you can kind of like walk backwards from it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
what
I've been doing. Because I had like an issue with my neighbor. And I was like, but what's the worst thing that can happen? She can yell and then I'm a yell.
Right.
And then,
right.
Okay. Next.
Yeah. It's okay. People yell sometimes when they're pissed off.
People yell sometimes.
Yeah. I drive, so I try to take the lower hanging fruit of like not getting road rage. I'm like, let's experiment here because I have a temper. So I'm like, don't let somebody get you to be impatient.
You know,
it's not
worth
it.
You know what they say? It's a highlight syndrome. Right. Because what we do is we think that everybody is truly looking at what you're doing, and they're figuring out ways
they're
to kind of like stop
piss you. Off.
And, right. But most people are thinking about themselves.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Their heads up their ass.
Everybody is thinking about themselves. So if you think about that, if everybody's thinking about themselves,
it's a good tip.
Then
it's not personal. It couldn't be personal.
If it can't be personal, then why am I caring so much what you think?
Exactly.
So when somebody like cuts you off and they're not like that blonde haired bitch,
right?
Not.
Right. Right.
Just,
they don't. I'm a car to them. They don't fucking know.
You a car to?
Yeah.
You're not even a car to them.
Yeah.
Actually, they're probably on TikTok.
Yeah. They're probably on their phone.
On TikTok, and that's what's happening.
Yeah. You're
that's blown up in my face though, because my mom always used to tell me growing up that no one's looking at you, no one's thinking about you, and then it turned out everyone was looking at me and was thinking about me. And I was like obsessed with my downfall. Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, it still happens. I don't know. People just really like to see me fail. And I go, not happening.
Because oh, you have this, I don't give a fuck energy, which would
people
highlight.
Cling to.
but it will highlight people's insecurities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if somebody wants you to fall, actually they just want themselves to fall because they don't have the balls to do the thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Why would mm-hmm. you want yourself to fall? That's so,
called self-sabotage.
Because when you grow up, we not feel love. What were the other things that you learned besides like kind of like sit, being able to sit with yourself from that book that you taught, the mountain
I'm
book?
I am a mountain?
Like that, no, I yeah, the mountain is
the
you.
The mountain, is you. You're the, I would just call the book, you're the fucking problem, bitch.
It's the truth. So yeah, it's the same thing.
Very poetic to call it the mountain.
yeah. What else did I learn? Just the highlighting and just being really intentional about what it is you want to do. Because if you want to create something, you have to really want to create it. Because oftentimes we say we want to do a lot of stuff, but we don't really want to do it.
Yeah.
We kind of fall into things instead of just setting a strategic plan and kind of like move through that. So I learned that with my business and comedy, like I'm booked a lot, but I really wasn't handling the business part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, I'm so busy. So then hire a freaking assistant, mm-hmm. then fire the ones that don't work out. Like,
yes.
let's stop playing these games.
Right.
Let's act like a white male in corporate America.
Yep.
Let's get the thing done.
Yeah.
So the business of comedy it's growing just because of that.
That's great. That's great. Intentionality is huge.
Yeah.
Speaking of business, you mentioned that while you were in therapy, you worked on getting a couple or asking for a couple raises. Did you get those raises?
Yeah.
And can you tell us some of the tactics or the language that you used when you went into those meetings?
It was more like I need a survey of my salary and my requirements. But it was through therapy, right? Because she was kind of like a life coach in a way.
Yeah.
And I like wrote a list of all the things that I did. And once you write a list of what you do in a corporation.
Absolutely.
Because most people think that
you're an asset. You're a huge asset.
Most people think they're not doing enough.
Right.
Right? Because every moment of their time is not spent making this other corporation money. So I wrote down the stuff that I was doing and I was like, well, damn.
Yeah.
Right?
Doing a great job.
Yeah.
Which gave me, you know, more momentum to go
Absolutely.
And ask for it. But the other piece is when somebody says no, you have to think, well, what are you prepared to do, if anything, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you prepared to call their bluff to walk away?
Right. Are you prepared to walk away?
Yeah.
Right. And oftentimes it's not even about walking away because that's like the ultimate thing. Sometimes it's just about hearing a no and then saying, no, I think we need to revisit this because if you think about this and if you think about that, then so I was able to do that.
Good. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that took coaching because I was very much a people pleaser, and that is I find that in Black women but in Black women in particular as it relates to corporate America, it's all about just being the backbone because you're really not getting the piece of the pie. So as long as I can make Bob look good, then he'll turn around and make sure I look good, but not so much.
People don't have your backs way.
And you have to be even better to be looked at as doing, just contributing.
Right. But the pandemic changed that a lot for a lot of people, I feel. Like that mass resignation, everybody's like, I'm gonna get me my own job or whatever. Because corporations can't find people to work.
There's a shortage of the workers exist, but they don't want the jobs.
We're good.
Yeah, yeah.
You played us enough.
Yeah.
Like that's what the pandemic did. We all sat down and then we looked at our government and how we were being governed and then you're like, not so much.
Yeah. You look at how a government treats its people and you're like, oh, this is terrible. This is like really bad. And then you travel internationally and you're like, the population, when they don't have to worry about it, like an injury, for example, equals a huge medical bill. Like, that's what you think of in America. If you injure yourself, even if you have insurance. So even that alone is just like a weight off of people's shoulders where they can, you know, dive into themselves. So, the quarantine.
I feel
really...
like that's what happened because we all got to look at ourselves. And then we got to look at other people. We got to look at other communities. We had nothing to do but sit down and watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you watch the George Floyd. You watch all the stuff. You watch the Me Too. And look, this is just happens. Like, just look at the timing of this. Because it was the Me Too movement. It's the George Floyd. Everyone's having a movement. They're like, no more
fuck this
of
shit.
This stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, oh, pandemic. Everybody have to sit down. right?
Yeah,
and then we
yeah.
sat down and then we watched it play out a little bit. And then they kind of like made everything about the vaccinated and the unvaccinated so that we can continue to fight. Yeah.
Yeah, the fighting, the government, the society, but like governments push people to fight and only look at their differences. And it's really.
But you know why? So that you're not thinking about.
Exactly.
Money.
We're fighting down right. here and then they're doing the yeah. same bullshit yeah. up there.
And they're Mars. How are you on Mars on Thursday?
If everyone got along, the government would be fucked. It's yeah. like that's the last thing they want to happen.
Yeah, because really heartbreaking. We could unify and then overthrow them.
They would have to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? They would have to answer to things that really just doesn't make sense.
To their constituents.
Yeah. They would have to answer. And yeah. it's different.
Mm. How has the self-improvement journey, how long did it take to fix your dating life?
Not fixed.
You
gotta try now.
Right. Like,
gotta apply what you've learned.
Have you made leaps and bounds with, I mean, obviously getting out of the marriage, you mentioned you got out of a marriage.
How long were you married?
17 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know, that was a long
time. You don't even look old enough to be, okay.
I know. I'm black, don't crack unless you smoke it. That's saw shit.
I never heard that last part before, and I really
Forever. That's what they mean. That's amazing. That's probably why we can't get reparations. They're like, how long do we have to pay them?
I don't know. So funny.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What were the main factors in why you had to get out of that marriage?
Well, we were kids, trauma bonding. It was very toxic. It was fighting. It was horrible.
For the entirety of the relationship?
No, probably the first 4 years was cool.
Oh, but that's a lot of other years.
13 other years.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah, 13, nice.
Yeah, that's how bad. Like, that's how, ask Jada and Will, that's how bad relationships work. You have to have some point, that's how love bomb works,
yeah,
right?
You have
to have some point where it's good and then you always wishing that.
Yeah, you go back
part.
To those good years. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and you forget, you're like, oh, I can have happiness now.
Yeah, and I was just, in my mind, I was thinking, well, I'll go to college, because I had got my GED when I was, like, I dropped out of high school. So then I was like, well, if I go to college, and then I'll get a better job. I was thinking, like, if I just keep fixing myself, eventually my life would follow, and it doesn't work like that.
Right. Well, fixing yourself often leads you to, like, shed people, places, and things.
Yeah, so I ended up, like... getting my bachelor's degree, and then like my kids were in like gifted and talented schools,
nice.
And my life was just changing. It just expanded out of the project apartment that I was living in, and so I needed to go do that life.
Yeah,
and then
he wasn't expanding.
Well, he wasn't going to be a part of that life. He was expanding, but differently.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you were just going on different paths.
Like, because
especially when
we
you get
were in
together
the 90s,
so
he was a drug dealer. I was like a drug dealer wife. Like, yeah, it was all the things. I was like with it.
Yeah.
And then once I went to school and I was just wasn't happy with my life, I was embarrassed about having a GED. Like, I was so embarrassed. All my friends went to away at school and they did all this stuff and I got married. Nobody was married, just me, him, James and Florida Evans. I don't know if you guys good times, but like nobody else was doing what I was doing. I was just trying to hurry up and be an adult because growing up with my mom, I was an adult already.
Yeah, so you're just following the same pace. Same pace. And then you're like, wait, this is not the pace I want to go in. And I don't have to operate in this
But
pace.
I had no real dreams. Like when I was a little kid, I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be on television. Mm-hmm. I would interview myself in the mirror and all that stuff. And then when I got with him, I was like, okay, I'm going to just go along with whatever his ideas are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any ideas. I'll just let him kind of like lead.
We talk about that so much on this show.
But I did that. I did that. Even I remember being in a car with my girlfriends going to like roller skating or something. And they were all like, it was my friend. She was driving her dad's car and we're all in the car. And they're all talking about the cars that they wanted. And I said, well, I think Jess is going to get a this. And so I didn't even have the wherewithal to think about what kind of car I wanted.
Yeah.
Right. Like I couldn't even dream. And they all looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Right.
Yeah.
Cause that wasn't my friends, but in my mind, I didn't have I didn't see a relationship. So the relationship that I saw was Heathcliff and Claire Huxtable.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to try to figure that one out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Minus the degrees and and the women with the rape. Like, no,
right,
the,
right, right, right.
The rest of
them. Right, 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 right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they had a good relationship on camera.
But that's what I saw.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I saw growing up. If that was the relationship that if I didn't see a relationship, then I saw that relationship. And think about it, the Cosby Show was on television for
that was
fucking
huge
ever.
Show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So and they modeled a beautiful family relationship.
Right. And yeah. They lived in Brooklyn and I lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I was like, well, this is not that far-fetched. Like, it's so important for women to be really painfully truthful because so many other women are going through it. So many other young women are going to go through it. And if somebody says, I heard this lady say this, maybe you'll give them a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you have to prioritize your own happiness. But it's like, you don't know that if you haven't your whole life. It just has to come piling on you.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's happiness? What does that even mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I know what it means. It just, that you can just chill.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everything can be crazy, but you have a space inside of you. But you'd be like,
you have a
sense
of calm within, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Exactly. When you told your husband you wanted a divorce, what was the reaction?
Damn. Oh, this is what I said, because we were separated, right?
So it wasn't a huge surprise.
But I was like, I couldn't date anybody unless I got divorced because I had gotten really, really religious.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Right? So really, really religious. So I wouldn't even want to go on a date with somebody if I was married to somebody else. And he was like, that's dumb. Just date. Like, just what's wrong with you? I'm dating. You're so dumb. Like, how old are you? What the fuck is wrong with you?
All right.
It was bad. But my mind, I was like, I needed somebody to lead me. So if I wasn't going to have him to lead me, then the church was going to lead me. Yeah, it was going to be me and Jesus.
Okay.
Right? Hallelujah. It was all those things.
I was wondering how that came about. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I needed to lean on something and so it's gonna be God.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And from what you mentioned before we started recording about religion being bullshit and learning that through comedy, I'm guessing you're not religious anymore? Or?
So I am spiritual.
Okay.
And I do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But going to church, and this is like quite recent, but going to church, what I found is it may be necessary for some people. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's necessary for a lot of people, especially when they're lost and they need something to lean on. But it's kind of like I'm introducing you to Karen. I'm like, hey, look, that's, and then build a relationship, right?
Yeah.
So then we build our relationship, and then you need to insert yourself some kind of way,
right?
So how do you do that? Are you gonna say, oh, she don't like such and such, she don't like it when you do such and such,
right?
So then now we get the guilt.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The seeds are planted.
Right,
these
so now I'm
seeds.
Never really having a relationship with you because we have this other thing going on that I'm kind of afraid of you. I'm kind of feeling guilt. So I'm not as close to you as I could until you have a pandemic and all those people die and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't have a relationship with you through her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got to just have a relationship with you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's where I am.
Okay. Yeah. It's a more pure relationship.
It's a relationship.
And then you like start looking for, I don't know, everybody has their own beliefs on God, but then you like start looking for like God in everyday life. Like just like these little things.
And
like
God
fruit,
in people.
Flowers. Yes.
And in
yes,
other people.
People you meet, day-to-day interactions. Like having a pleasant interaction with somebody who works at the grocery store is just like, oh, that's so nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So, wow. So how have you had healthy relationships since kind of going on this path?
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's the other piece, right? Because even if it's a healthy relationship, doesn't mean it is for you.
Oh, true. Yeah,
very
true.
Very true. Yeah.
And right? Because then you're like, nothing's wrong with them.
Right.
So is it that I only like toxic people? No.
Right.
There's
no chemistry between you guys.
A certain thing is chemistry, which I didn't even ever know about.
Really?
When I tell you, I did not have any chemistry with my ex-husband.
Oh,
I did
really?
Not, no, I didn't even know. Like, no, I wanted to get out of my mother's house.
Okay. So, and that's a powerful force, though. Wanting to get out of your mom's house is a powerful.
Right? He was like, I'm going to get you an apartment and a car. I was like, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Right? That?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I just loved him from that space.
Yeah,
from
yeah, yeah.
Desperate, just being desperate. Yeah. But when you do have nice, loving, nurturing relationship, and you're like, well, damn, why don't I? Oh, see, there's no spark.
Yeah.
Right. There has to be
a spark.
It's not going
to the future. Like, yeah. This needs to go to the future. But sometimes.
Your body tells you.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, she does. Vagina.
Yeah.
She does. She'd be like, first of all, I'm not here. She does. But it's still dope to have those experiences because you can't fix love with trying to be successful.
Yeah, that's very true.
Love with love.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the only, you can only fill the hole of that was loveless with love. That's it.
With love.
And with like genuine love, like pure good love. So have you met guys where you're like I should like you, but I don't have chemistry?
Yeah.
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 How quickly does it take you to realize that?
Oh, I know from
right
the onset,
away.
But it still take me 2 years.
Sometimes it's, yeah. Yeah, because you're like, am I sure I don't like you? Maybe one more time hanging out, I'll do it.
That's sorry, so
Bruce.
Funny.
I'm sorry, Bruce. Aww, like, Bruce. I always have this Bruce. I mean, poor Bruce. Like, poor he was guy. Nice.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. It's just no spark.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when I did find like somebody with chemistry, it didn't work out. But I was like, what is that electricity thing that I'm feeling? And he was like, that's chemistry. I was like, how the fuck? Did I live all this time?
Wow. Without ever feeling that. How long until you met somebody that you
40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't know what to look for it, then how the fuck?
That must have been intoxicating.
Yeah. But yeah, because, yeah.
Yeah. Was it hard to leave that guy, the first guy you felt chemistry with? Because that is, whoa, that's, talk about chemical dependency.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, white girl crying. Like, you know, white women cry, puppy eyes and stuff. Yeah, I was like, what the hell? But that was dope. All these experiences, if you think about them, they're dope.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Have you ever read The Untethered Soul?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. If you like self-help stuff, it's really good.
I am definitely going to read it.
The author talks about how, like, you know, all of whatever our issues are with life, whatever we have a hard time with, whatever, you know, and wherever they stem from, regardless, we kind of look at it as we're in this tug of war with what we're battling against, but we're not. And feeling better is just a very simple, like, breath away. And basically, he's like, when you're in a tug of war, you can immediately end the struggle if you just relax the muscles in your hands. That's all you have to do. And instantly, the second you let the rope go, instantly everything is gone.
It's lighter.
And you're like, oh, fuck. And so, he also talks about this concept of, he says, and I've heard a couple authors say this, that you technically, you know, when you experience chemistry with somebody romantically, because of their presence, but you can feel this without them. Your heart is opening up. So you have these energy channels in you that sometimes another person's presence is what triggers this energy channel to flow through you. But you could technically, you have access to that all the time. Yeah. So I'm like, ooh, I've heard so many people that I really respect who've written works that I really respect say that. And I'm like, it has to be true. So like you can feel, I'm like, can you feel chemistry with yourself? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called masturbation. No.
I mean, I masturbate all the time.
Yeah, it's best.
Even doing other, I mean, like, I find, like, even doing, like, just, like, quiet moments. That's why I like massages and facials. It's not like, oh, I just love luxury. I think it's, like a moment with yourself where someone is, like, touching you, but you're really, like, lying there with yourself in the stillness and, like, the comfort of someone, like, being able to touch you. Like, I was getting a facial yesterday, and I'm, like, crying over nothing.
Nice.
But it was nice. It's just, like, a nice moment of release to let go. And I think it's, like, it's easier to do that when it's a woman giving the service.
Yeah, that's true. I had a massage yesterday. And it's about healing self-care.
Touch. Yeah.
It's really about self-care. Yeah. And so I start, what I also did that I feel like is really, really helpful is I have a productivity log.
Mm.
So I just put it on my phone. I just have the date and what I did just for me, right?
Yeah.
And so I would write, you know, March 3rd, swam, whatever, right? And if I don't do anything, I write nothing.
Yeah.
And the next day I write nothing. Then by the third day, I'm not going to write nothing.
Right.
I'm going to go.
Like, I got to do something.
Got to do something.
Yeah,
we do all these things, especially as women. We do all these things for all these people. but prioritizing yourself is really important and being able to see it.
Yeah, see your progress.
You accountable.
And enjoying the energy that you give out. When you're giving it to yourself, you can enjoy it.
Right. And you have to feel stuff. That's the other piece, right? Because we don't, like, if you're not feeling pain, then you're not really feeling pleasure. You just kind of walking on the outskirts of life. Numb. You got to feel it. So the crying is really important because you think you're crazy. Because sometimes I would just be like,
should I commit myself? What the fuck's happening?
Yeah, but you know, there's something that you didn't cry about.
Yeah, yeah.
That's coming old. Up.
Yeah.
And just let yourself cry.
Let it get unstuck.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like a passing, like a rain shower. Like, in Florida where it rains for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll be like, and then for 2 seconds and then it goes away. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck was
that?
You
just let it pass.
But you know what? Yeah. But sharing that is really important.
Yeah, yeah,
you know how many women think that they can't do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love a passing
when
cry.
When I feel the cry come, I'm like, okay.
It's about to go down.
Here we
down.
Go. I don't know how long it's going to last, but we'll see.
Yeah, but it's good that you allow it to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't feel crazy anymore. I used to numb out and stuff, but like, yeah, you just got to. And then you're like, wow. And you just kind of bear witness to yourself and you're like, I went through a lot. Okay. I have a lot of, like, just a lot I need to get out. It's okay.
And it's an ongoing thing and that's dope. It can, it can. Like, you don't get out of life. Well, they say you don't get out of life alive.
Right.
So you might as well like settle in.
Yeah, yeah, and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And the self-improvement thing is like, it's finding the balance so it's not like consuming you, right? Because you have to live your life. But also like, it's until you die. That's what living is. Like, what layers can I peel back here?
I asked Vivian, the 103-year-old lady that's swimming, I asked her, what was her one regret in life? And she said, I didn't get my hip replaced when I had a chance. That was it.
Wow. Because
she doesn't like walking with the rollator.
Yeah.
103 years, damn. And that's all you regret?
That's
girl,
great. That's not bad.
Girl, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, earnestly living your life.
The other piece is you can live a long time.
Yeah.
Like most people think, I'm just die. No, you could just go another 50, 60
years. Die with that attitude.
Yeah.
But you could still live a really, really long time not feeling the things that you want to feel. That's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible. It is horrible. And I hate that. Yeah, Chris and I were just talking. Like, I've dated a lot of guys that just like, because my mom's bipolar depression. And so she, but like, I dated guys that just like, they could help themselves, but they didn't. And I'm like, so that's nice to... not have that anymore.
Yeah.
As a parent, how old are your kids right now?
29 and fuck y'all. 29. And
I have no idea how old you are. Maybe you had a kid when you were 10. We don't know.
Well, that didn't happen.
And so did you, when you were raising them, did you do any work on prioritizing yourself or was that just like not even in your mind?
No, I bought myself a lot of clothes.
Okay.
Well, that's
so you're trying to
myself.
Yeah, right.
It was no, because I was
that was
myself
that doesn't
financial
actually help.
Ruins, right? I would not deny myself anything as it relates to like anything that was in Marshalls, right?
Yeah.
Marshalls is so healing. It's a healing experience. I love that place because it's like you can really buy a lot and not do too much damage to your credit card.
Right. So Marshalls, and then when they were younger, like Baby Gap and Gap Kids.
Aww.
So I would just go crazy. And that was it. But nothing really healing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that was.
Wow.
I did not know what it was. I was like, well, because in church, they're like, find joy. And you can find it through the word of God. But then when I was looking, it was just like, oh, God, I can't masturbate. I can't. Damn, it's a lot of stuff I can't do.
Right.
So the things that come natural to me, you're telling me they're wrong.
Right.
And
right.
Now I'm like, oh, my God.
Now
okay.
your energy.
So now God is mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a whole mess.
And that was like
a
whole thing. I'm telling you, I would have sex.
Ugh.
And cry after because I wasn't married to the person.
Wow.
So then I didn't have sex. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. For the little bit I did go to church, it always like I would listen to the sermons out and I would be like, this God character seems hard to please.
It's such a shame.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's such a shame that religion.
You said Jesus, that's hilarious.
Religion like wanted to get control over people and money and the power and greed and like, but not all. It's like, man, the actual fundamental like point of a religion is a beautiful thing in somebody's life. But I'm like, man, so many religions ruined it.
Yeah, because humans.
Yeah.
Attach themselves to it, and then you know
we want
to have total dominance over things, and that's just kind of like in us. I think that's just our innate nature as animals to try
power
to
corrupts.
Want to, but what will they say? Total absolute power.
Yeah, yeah.
Corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was that. It was that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I've lived many lives, and then I get to do this now.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I feel so dope.
Yeah,
I feel so pleased that this is one thing about stand up. You can't stand behind anybody.
Nope.
You got to just stand there with one mic in your hand and say, and this is what I think.
Right.
And yeah, maybe you can double back sometimes or whatever. But for the most part, there's in acting. You need a partner. Stand up. Yeah. It's by yourself. It's by yourself. And you get to tell your truth. And I had never really had that opportunity. And so that's why I love stand up so much.
Yeah.
How did you how did you get connected with stand up?
So I always wanted to be an actress.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, auditions are in the daytime and I needed to work because I was a single mom.
Right.
And so when my youngest daughter got older, I was like, what else can I do? I was taking acting classes, but I wasn't going on auditions and stuff. And then I was like, I'm going to take a comedy class and see what happens. And I took Gotham's comedy class.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I was bossing everybody around in the class.
He took
it
well.
And then my teacher, Veronica Mosley, she said,
oh, nice.
You know Veronica?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
She's in LA, right? Is she
No, she's in New York.
Oh, she's in New York.
Uh-huh. So it was like the Rick Holmes class. Or yeah. Whatever, you know what I'm talking about? And so she was like, no, you really have something. Like you should continue with this.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
really have something. And then I just started, you know, doing dumb shit, going to open mics, thinking that I was supposed to crush, didn't cry.
Right,
it was
right,
bad.
Right. The
Nobody
rejection.
Tells you about comedy. You have to really guess. And so then I started going through, you know, the whole comedy process and, you know, the cool kids table. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm too old to be here with this.
I'm to be playing
moms.
These games.
Like, this, what kind of crap is this? I want to slap these people. Are they crazy?
Grown men acting like babies.
They are crazy. Yeah.
Crazy,
so then
yes.
I saw a lot of people on the spectrum. And I saw it. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, they're depressed.
Yeah.
Oh,
taking it out.
Oh, this is the first time they've been cool. You know, so I didn't know.
That right there is so important. That
I was you've never been cool before.
Yeah, can tell it just reeks of never being cool before. Oh my God, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be around as an adult.
Yeah, as an adult my age, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking like, wow.
You're supposed to be past this.
How in the, okay, so I'm supposed to pretend like I don't see this?
Right.
It's so that clingy.
So that I can get an opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Wow. It's a balancing act. It's an interesting balancing
act.
It's
really interesting. But it's similar to corporate America.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in corporate America that you got to pretend like you don't see, that you freaking see.
Like what?
The breadcrumbing.
Mm.
You know, the gaslighting, giving this person an opportunity over this person. Yeah, this person's not strong enough.
Right. Or, planting those seeds.
Those little things, the awkward hugs. Too long. All of corporate America is to kind of like let you know you don't have power.
Yeah.
That's the way it's set up. Yeah.
Exactly that's how it is.
The hierarchy
in
right?
society.
It's like you don't really have power, right? Because we can take it away and then we'll starve your kids out.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, don't want that to happen, but it's also don't want to suck your dick to get this.
Right. But if you think about it, right? Society is set up like that.
Yeah, it is.
And it's so crazy because society is really set up so misogynistic, right? Mm-hmm. That all of us, women especially, like we're like made to like fight each other.
Yeah, internalize.
Yes. And all the different things.
Yes.
And we have the most valuable asset, right? We have the vagina.
The human population.
Yeah, the power to recreate. Yeah.
We have the vagina and they done tricked us to believe that we have to go to them to ask them about the vagina. Like, what?
Yeah.
We gotta ask, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's backwards.
Wait, and if I try, and I have this joke and I'm like, I say, like, if you're under 25, if you weren't born with a silver spoon, you're still sitting on a gold bar. Like,
Yeah.
And if you don't make money from it, like, that's because a man told you not to. But if it's the, like, if you, okay, don't sell it, but you can auction it. Like, what we talking about? It's yours.
Right,
Why would somebody make
it's
you
powerful.
Think that you cannot use, men use their, if they could sell it, they do.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't, like, make anybody make them feel bad about it. But we, right, because we have this nurture inside of us. They like all the things. You have something that Epstein built an island. It's so fucking valuable, right? Mm. That the players of the biggest of nations come for these young vaginas. It's not what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like R. Kelly, the whole thing. And you're like, I say it as a joke, but hard work and dedication will never get you to the places that your vagina will. Like at a certain at a certain point, it's like it's sad, but it's freaking true. The sad part is that someone makes you feel as if it's a bad thing, and it's
yeah. So you don't know your own worth,
but you use it. You use it. You even like panty commercials. They models. They use children. They those girls their faces like that because they're 15.
Yeah. It's gross.
They're 15.
Yeah.
And by the time you're 21, you're an old model. What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's society.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't. Society gets me down. It's really, and I want to leave it, but you kind of can't. I mean, I guess you could,
but. Girls are 15 and 12. Yeah. They're like, I started modeling when I was 12 years old in panties and bras.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That's not good.
Yep. It's gross.
We're not even talking about sex.
No, I know.
We're just talking about the imagery
of the young woman. Yeah, well, also too, though, like the I feel like a lot of men like younger women because they don't stand up for themselves as much, which is infuriating.
Yeah,
it's very infuriating.
But it's about children.
Catch, I always say you got to catch them before they got a dream.
That's how that goes.
Yeah.
Bitch. Hold up, bitch. Wait, now you come. Because
then you're going to be their dream. And you're gonna have a great life,
right? Because they don't have to, you know, not debate. They don't have to consider you.
Yeah,
right. Yep. They don't have to consider you.
They can just be selfish, and then when you call,
you're
along
for the ride. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That part.
What do you think is the most? What's the thing that you instilled in your children that you're most proud of?
They are very self-serving.
Nice.
And so I am happy that they will not allow somebody to just come in and take them places that they are not necessarily want to go. They're very, they're selfish fucking assholes. Like they're Gen Z. They're Gen Zs and like maybe a millennial. Yeah, so it's like they know that I'm kissing their ass. Okay. So everybody else needs to too. Like,
right.
That part. My youngest daughter's in Turks and Caicos.
Nice.
She works at a gym, like a and she's as a medical, like she has a medical, and she's like, I don't know if I want to do that. I think I want to do YouTube. What, bitch?
Wow.
I pay. What the fuck you talking about? But right at her, but at the core of her, she was well loved by
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Well, so anything loved. Less than that, she won't accept.
She's like, nah, I'm good.
Wow.
She's like, I'm good. I'm like, I don't. Every time I say, you guys could do this, they're like, nah, I don't feel like it. Like my daughter said to me one time, you've done a lot of things you don't want to do in life. Why should I? Because I'm going to stop paying for your shit, bitch.
Yeah. There you go. That's
a
reason.
I'm not.
So wait, are you paying for her Turks and Caicos trip technically?
I put a couple dollars in.
Have you ever been to Turks and Caicos?
No.
Oh, you got to go.
I'm going to go eventually. But
yeah, you need to go.
But her friends were going and she could not go.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well loved. I mean, I'm a sucker. I need to just throw them out. But
you love your kids.
I'm just paying them back for the dad that I chose.
Okay.
It's guilt. It is guilt.
Is he not present in their lives anymore?
He is.
Okay.
He is, but he just doesn't do the he's not going to jump through the hoops.
Be like overly like nurturing and stuff.
He's not jumping through the hoops. He's like, ask your mother.
Right.
Do you
have conversations with him about that, or is that like kind of a moot point?
It's a dead. It's all good. Yeah. I just look like
it's a waste of your energy.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
He's somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
But it's really good material. Yeah,
that's a problem with comedy.
You still need good material.
When things are going badly, you're like, oh, but this is so.
Yeah, but I've had enough struggle in my life that you could just remind me of something and kind of like
you could coast on that old struggle.
I got a good 20 minutes on that. Yeah. How about that? How are you dating?
I am dating.
Yeah. Are you seeing anybody?
Not now, because this 6 months I want to just focus on seeing how. Much I can push myself in comedy. I don't want to be distracted.
Yeah. Wise. That's
just
awesome.
Need a moment to just like.
Speaking of comedy, you have an album coming out.
I do.
An album, right?
Yes, yeah. An album coming out and kind of a special. So we're filming it also and we're going to figure out how we're going to shop it or whatever. Oh, I am really becoming like a Hollywood type. We is me. But anyway.
We is team? Good though, because it sounds like you have a team. So yeah. No one knows. Yeah. No one knows.
Say we.
Just say we.
I'm just joking. Okay, so there is a we. But well, I forgot what I was saying.
So you have a special. So we're gonna album.
So I'm shooting it through the Black Women in Comedy Festival, nice. And so that's happening June 16th. It's gonna be after this, but when the album comes out, I'm having an album release, and nice. We're gonna try to shop the visuals and stuff like that. So yay. It's called My Mama's Music, and it's just about me living my life through the soundtrack of my mom until I realize, like, no, that's her life. So I'm trying to do things that she would never do, so, or the things that she did do, but I wasn't really operating in my space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm gonna just take this part of my life, all those jokes, and give it to the world, and then work on some new stuff.
Yeah, nice.
I like
oh,
that.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank
this is
you
a great
for
conversation.
Having me.
And where can people follow you on social?
So it's Onika Comedy, mm-hmm. Onika Comedy on all social media platforms.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you so
Onika.
Much for sharing
Thank
your story
you
with
guys.
Us. This was great. Wonderful. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.